Welcome to the Seth Gruber Show today, guys. I'm so excited for you to hear my amazing conversation with Brother Pastor Jay Stewart. Pastor Jay Stewart's become a dear friend. He pastors a church called the Refuge Church in Kannapolis, outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. He's hosted the White Rose Resistance National Tour. He's hosted me and my team. And this brother, at 60 years old, although he looks like 50, rode his bike from the West Coast to the East Coast across the entire country of America to raise $1 million for unborn babies and to awaken pastors to the plight of the unborn and to get their churches to become House of Refuge churches. You're going to love this brother's heart and his story. He's a pastor to pastors. He's exhorting and awakening pastors in America to retake their place on the wall, to rebuild a culture of life, to rebuild Christendom, and to save these precious unborn babies who are being killed. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation with Pastor Jay Stewart of the Refuge Church. Buckle up. Let's get into it. This is The Seth Gruber Show. Pastor Jay, welcome to the show today, brother. Look at you. You're like 40 years old, riding across America for the preborn. You have one of the coolest, pastor just stud stories I've ever heard. I try to get pastors to preach a 30-minute sermon against abortion once a year, or, get their church outside of an abortion center to pray. Not only are you doing and have been doing these things, you rode your bicycle across America to raise money for saving babies and to awaken pastors to do the same. How were we not friends 20 years ago? Brother, tell us about yourself.
Seth, thank you so much, man. It is an absolute honor to be with you and to be able to sit down and chat about this with you on the site. And I'm so grateful for, man, you being the tip of the spear, how you're fighting for those babies and mothers across the country. But, God stirred my heart and our church. I feel like I pastor one of the greatest churches in America called the Refuge Church. You've been here with us, and it's an amazing body of believers. And, we've been very involved from the beginning days of an organization that started right here where we are in the Charlotte, North Carolina area called Love Life. And when they started back in 2016, and I have a great relationship with the founder of Love Life, Justin Reeder, it was a no-brainer for me as a pastor of a large church that we were to get involved and to support them and to be a part of what they were doing. Really, Seth, in my opinion, it's Christianity 101. And I believe it's what God has called the church to do and to be. I don't know how we can sit by and watch 65 million babies that we know of that have been murdered just in America and not do anything about that, not be a voice for the voiceless, not speak up for the unborn, not go after the orphans in America, and not go after these mothers who find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. So God just put something on me, put this idea on me that was started 40 years ago, believe it or not, and that came to fruition last year in 2023, and that was this bike ride across America at the age of 60.
Come on, dude. If I can look as 40 as you look at 60, when I'm 60, I'll be stoked.
Dude, you are so kind.
You said that this was a dream that was birthed decades before.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was 20 years old, Seth. I was in college at the time, and I just had this crazy idea back then about riding a bicycle across the country. I think maybe it was kind of sparked by me hearing about a guy who did that. At the time, it had nothing really to do with the kingdom. It was just a college kid who just loved adventure. And I've always had this kind of thrill-seeking side to me. And here's the thing, though. Over time, the dream never died. In fact, it just continued to get stronger and stronger. And when two of my sons, my older sons, when they were young boys, I would say to them, "Hey guys, guess what we're going to do when you turn 18? They'd say, "What, Dad?" I said, "We're going to ride a bicycle across the country." Again, I wasn't thinking so much about the kingdom as I was about a cool adventure. But I noticed a shift in all of that a few years ago. And here's really how I knew God was up to something. I was sitting around the table with some of my staff. When I turned 50, I did a thing called the Tough Mudder. And it was an obstacle course race. And then when I was 53, I did the Spartan Trifecta with my sons, three obstacle course races. And, you know, it was just really cool. So sitting around this table, some of my pastors said, "Hey, when you turned 50, you did the Tough Mudder. What are you going to do when you turn 60? Immediately, without hesitation, Seth, I said, "I'm going to ride a bicycle across America, and I'm going to raise $1 million for a ministry here in America." And the look on their face of just complete shock matched the shock in my own heart, because I couldn't believe what I had just said. I'm like, you know, you ever had those moments where you're like, "Why in the world did I just say that?" That was that moment for me.
Wow.
And I knew, God, you're up to something. So the burden kept getting stronger and stronger. So go back to January of 2022. Our church is doing a 21-day fast like we do every January. I'm praying and fasting and saying, "God, if I'm going to do this when I turn 60, I'm 59 at the moment. If I'm going to do this, I need to know by this May of 2022, who I'm going to do it for, because I need a year to plan it." So while I'm fasting and praying, I have all these different ideas of who we could do it for, great organizations, missionaries, whatever. In 2022, something very significant, it looked like was going to happen. And that was the overturning June of that year of Roe versus Wade. Sadly, a lot of pastors did not even mention it from their pulpits. I felt like it was something to be celebrated. Anyway, May of 2022, before Roe versus Wade was overturned, but it looked like it was going to happen, I really felt strongly in my heart I needed to sit down with Justin Reeder, the founder of Love Life, and share with him the crazy idea of riding a bicycle across the country. May 17th, he comes to my office. I lay it all out for him. "Justin, I've got this idea. I feel like it's from the Lord." Kind of go through the whole story. Justin is sitting there looking at me. He's not giving any facial expressions. He's not saying anything. He's looking at me like I have three heads, like I'm just absolutely crazy. And I don't know if you've ever had moments like this, Seth. Probably not, because you're so much smarter than I am, so much more articulate than I am. But it was just this moment where I was like, "God, I just want to die right now. Like, I feel so stupid. This is going nowhere. Like, can I just back the tape up? Can we just, you know, put the thing in reverse and act like this never happened?" So I finished the whole thing, and this was the last thing I said to him. I said, "Justin, I'm going to turn 60 next January. I'm going to ride a bicycle across the country. I'm going to raise $1 million for somebody, and I feel like it could be Love Life. What do you think?" First words out of Justin's mouth. He says, "You're not going to believe what a confirmation this is." Well, I was shocked when he said that. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "2 weeks ago, a business guy from Charlotte took me to lunch, and he said, 'Justin, I've got this crazy idea. We need to have somebody ride a bicycle across the country and raise money for Love Life.'" 2 weeks prior. I mean, I'm like, wow. Oh my gosh. Like, it to Justin and I both, it was crystal clear in the moment. God is in this. God wants this to happen. And that day, Life Ride was born. And we began planning. It took a year to plan it. It was logistically, there was so much involved, but on May the 4th, 2023, the National Day of Prayer in America, that again goes rather unnoticed by a lot of people.
Yeah.
I dipped the back tire of my bicycle in the Pacific waters right by Pirate's Cove. If you saw the movie,
yep.
Jesus Revolution, right there at Corona
yep.
del Mar, and started a 3,135-mile journey that culminated with me dipping my front tire in the Atlantic Ocean on June 21st, 49
wow.
days later. So,
wow.
Amazing journey. We raised $1 million for Love Life, and it was incredible.
That's so cool. You, when we were together in Charlotte last fall, and it was so fun to be with you and your family and your team and a lot of mutual friends I have in Charlotte, you were telling me some of the just miracles,
yeah.
cool God stories from your life ride. I love that life ride
yeah.
For Love Life. And I want you to share some of those of time on the road. Because one, it's a very deliberative kind of thing to do.
Yeah.
Unless you're riding with someone the whole time, you're with your thoughts most of the day with a sore butt in the saddle. And so it gives you a lot of time with your thoughts and in prayer and with the Lord.
Yeah.
But also the physical exertion.
Yeah.
That takes on you. It's most people can't really actually fully comprehend how taxing what you did was. Can you talk just a little bit about the journey?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you well know, Seth, probably way more than most people, when you're taking on the spirit of Molech in America, you are inviting a ton of warfare. And so the moment I said yes to this and the moment Life Ride was born, I saw the warfare go to another level. And the whole time I was training, which was 9 months of training, it was a constant battle. It was a mental battle. It was a spiritual battle. There were attacks on my family. There were attacks on me. And then the whole time I'm on the bike from May 4th till June 21st, same thing was true. There was enormous attacks. I was still pastoring. I mean, I didn't just abandon my church. I was still pastoring. I was still a dad. I was still a granddad. Plus, I'm spending 6 to 7 hours a day, burning 6 to 7,000 calories a day on the bicycle, riding and climbing mountains and, taking on this thing. And I didn't realize that the mental aspect of it would be as challenging as the physical aspect. And I had to keep telling myself over and over, day after day, the mind quits before the body. And there were so many times I mentally just wanted to shut down, but I would not let myself do it because I knew so much was at stake. But here's the beauty in it. I had some of the most intimate times with the Lord while I would be riding on the bicycle, praying for America, praying for a revival, praying for the babies, praying for the mothers who found themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, praying for churches to be mobilized, praying for pastors to awaken across America, because I believe this is the greatest moral issue of our day. And so there were a lot of times of praying where, yeah, I'm not a big crier. I don't say that with pride, like, you know, I'm too macho to cry. It's just, you know, how I'm wired. But there were so many times I would be riding completely alone out in the middle of the desert or climbing a mountain, weeping in the presence of God as I was praying and interceding for God to move across America. And there were miracles, Seth. I rode 3,135 miles. I never had one injury. I never had one moment of sickness. I never even had a flat tire. There were plenty of opportunities for danger. There's irate motorists, you know, people that are trying to run me off the road. I was chased by dogs many times. There's debris. There's just a lot to navigate in the midst of that. And I believe there were times the enemy tried to take me out. But there was, I believe, just a cocoon of angelic hosts that were positioned around me that protected me from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Wow. That's beautiful, man. And I remember watching your traction as you were going across the country, watching that thermometer get closer and closer
yeah.
to $1 million, and watching you get there was just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, brother, what would be your encouragement and exhortation to pastors in America? God's given you not just a heart for the sheep, for people, for believers, for the church, but also for other pastors. And there's been a, I think, kind of a cool movement over the last couple of years of pastors and churches starting to connect more with one another, realizing how much we need each other in these confusing, perverted, disgusting, dark days we're living in. And you have one of those hearts for pastors as well. What would you say to the woke, weak, or wimpy pastors of America in the 21st century? But first, we want to thank our sponsor at Every Life Diaper Company. Every life is America's pro-life diaper company. Isn't that cool? A baby industry that doesn't want to kill babies. I know, it's super crazy. All eight of the major American baby brands in America rhetorically or financially support the abortion industry. Yeah, the baby industry helps subsidize or celebrate the murder of their clientele base, which means they sell less product. Make it make sense. You can't defeat a culture of death by funding that culture of death. You got to fund a culture of life and fight back with your wallet. Be a steward of your money. Use it for life and righteousness. If you have poop around the house and you still need diapers, your nursery at your church or your pregnancy resource center or loved ones in your life who are having babies, get yourself or send them some diapers at everylife.com. Promo code Seth10, promo code Seth10 for 10% off your first order, and let them know that we sent you. Thank you, Every Life.
I would say, first of all, you are living so far beneath the potential for which God has created you. When I think of all the people that could be alive right now, Seth, in 2024, all of the men and women that could be pastoring our churches, great men and women from the past. Like, we could go down and catalog all these great revivalists and great preachers and great leaders. And God picked us right now to be the ones who are on the field in the fourth quarter. I think that's an incredible privilege. But sadly, there are so many pastors who are wimping out and who have succumbed to an intimidating spirit, the mocking spirit of Goliath, who have decided they're just going to play it safe. And I think that's a miserable way to live and to pastor. One of the most thrilling things I get to do is to lead our church, to stand on the front lines and to say, you know what? We're going to create a place where mothers who find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, rather than running to an abortion clinic, they can run to our church. We're not going to shame them. We're not going to condemn them. We're not going to judge them. In fact, the opposite's going to be true. We're going to disciple them. We're going to resource them. We're going to love on them. We're going to surround them so that they know the church is a place that they can run to. And I have ladies in my church who had scheduled an abortion, who are now sitting and worshiping in our church and raising their kids in our church every single week. There's few things that are more fulfilling than that, because that is the gospel in action. And the gospel requires action on our part. And I know a lot of pastors are like, well, it's too polarizing. It's too controversial. I'm worried about money walking out the door of my church if I say too much about this. Please give me a break. I would rather have the pleasure and the approval of God than somebody's checking the offering plate. I'm going to give an account to him one day. And man, these cultural wars that we're taking on, I just want to remind pastors, God put you in your pulpit, put you in your place of leadership for such a time as this. We're going to give an answer to him for how we lead, how we pastor. And you're going to discover great anointing, great energy, great power, great support when you put yourself out there and take on these battles that are dear to the heart of God.
That's right. That's right. Brother, I think a lot about the apathy and the distance a pastor has to have to the heart of God.
Yeah.
To preach, live, worship, and minister in a city that kills children and remain unaffected and unmoved by the presence of that evil.
Yeah.
Think about how many pastors, brother, have to pass their local abortion mill to get to their church office to prep their sermon Saturday.
Exactly right.
We have to pass the abortion mill where children are ripped limb to limb to pick up their groceries on the way home from church.
Right.
Are we affected by that? Are we disturbed by that? Or are you just so busy doing more quote unquote spiritual things?
Yeah.
What have you found is the spiritual climate of Charlotte, where you live, with one of the largest abortion providers in the Southeast?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you know, Paul told the young man Timothy, he said, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. It will grow cold. And there's the Pied Piper that has lured many leaders and many pastors into a place of indifference and into a place of apathy. Listen, I believe that I was a prophetic picture for the body of Christ when I was riding those miles at the age of 60 all the way across America. And I believe that God's calling all of us to do hard things. I'm not saying to any pastor or leader out there, God's calling you to ride a bike across America. Not at all. I'm just saying God might be calling you, and I believe is calling us, to do hard things. That's why he's allowed us to be here right now. And we have to fend off the spirit of apathy, the spirit of indifference, where babies are being murdered every day. Right here in Charlotte, where I am, the busiest abortion clinic in the Southeast. It's not in Atlanta, it's not in Miami, it's not in Washington, D.C., it's right here in Charlotte. And I love the fact that every single week, the body of Christ, all denominations, are coming together at that abortion clinic, not to scream, not to yell, not to condemn, but to worship and to pray. And let me tell you, because of people's willingness to do that, the atmosphere is shifting in Charlotte, North Carolina, and in these other 22 cities where Love Life now has grown into and now has a presence in. The atmosphere is changing. The atmosphere is shifting, because when you do that, when you put yourself on the front lines like that, it attracts the presence of God.
Man, what would it take, brother, to get Stephen Furtick to take off his Yeezys and get on his feet and knees outside of an abortion center and weep for the children whose lives he has never spoken on behalf of? It's the mega church Christian prosperity religion is a disgrace to the church. God may bless you financially, but he may not. And you're called to be faithful. You're called to be obedient. And you have one of the biggest churches in America right around the block from your church, Brother Jay. And that is an entertainment center. Where is the church using their wealth, their courage, their voice, their numbers, their presence to shut down these murder mills? And we wonder why it feels like the heavens are shut. As we wind down, brother, can you talk about kind of the spiritual nature of this fight for pastors? What would you say to pastors who are sleeping through this spiritually? What does it say about the heart of the pastor? What does it say about the soul and nature of the church? Has God given us over to be ruled by those who hate us because of our tolerance of child sacrifice in America? Is this the one issue that if we were to turn the other way on, God might bless America? Speak to pastors on some of these things, the spiritual reality of this fight.
Yeah, Seth, I believe that there are many, many battles that we can pick and choose and many things that the church can be involved in. And I'm not trying to minimize some of the great things that other churches are doing. But I am saying, again, this, I believe, is the greatest moral and spiritual issue of our day in our nation. And I believe one of the reasons we're not really experiencing revival in America is because we've allowed apathy to keep us from taking action when it comes to the sacrifice of children. That goes all the way back to the beginning of mankind. And you teach so well that there has been a spirit of death that has been released. There's been an agenda of death on the part of the enemy to wipe out generations since the beginning of mankind. How can the church ignore that? How can the church say, well, that's not my fight? Somebody else has got to do that. No, all of us have the responsibility to be a voice for the voiceless, to battle for the unborn and to battle for these mothers. And I don't believe that we're going to experience the outpouring of the Spirit of God like Joel 2 talks about until it, listen, Jesus taught the disciples to pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. The will of God is that babies are protected, babies are saved. And if we apprehend the heart of God, we have to apprehend the heart of God. And I'm saying to you pastors out there that might be watching this, just get before the Lord. Say, God, what is important to you? And allow yourself to be challenged. Maybe you're doing things that you think are really important to God and important for the kingdom, and maybe they are. But if you really ask the Lord and allow him to probe your heart, God might just call you to action. And then you have to decide, am I willing to do something that maybe is going to be controversial, maybe not popular, maybe not well received, maybe it's going to diminish my YouTube following, maybe it's going to diminish my Instagram following. But you got to be willing to do that, because the bottom line is, do we want the approval of God or do we want the approval of man?
That's right. Yeah. Good, Jay. So what is up with Pastor Jay next? What's Life Ride look like moving forward? And how can pastors and people listening get involved with supporting ministries like Love Life? And by the way, for you guys listening, Love Life is a very dear ministry partner, friend of mine. I tell my donors to support them. My donors are not mine. I'm a big believer that a rising tide lifts all boats. And we'll probably be working with Love Life as close ministry partners here at the White Rose Resistance. For people that want to learn more or get engaged, what is going on this year with Life Ride?
Well, you know, what I did last year, Seth, was not sustainable for me or for Love Life. But what I propose to them is moving forward, let's have a Life Ride week. And so Life Ride Week 2024 is starting on Father's Day, because abortion is not just a women's issue. It's a man's issue as well. So we're starting Life Ride Week on Father's Day. We're asking people all over the country, ride with us virtually. Ride on your Peloton, ride in your neighborhood, ride at your gym, and just get people to sponsor you per mile. Let's help raise money for Love Life. And then we're inviting people that maybe are the hardcore riders who love to show up, ride some great place. The last 3 days of that week, we're going to be riding down the coast of California. I'll be there. We're going to ride together. Nice. We're going to raise funds for Love Life. That all starts on Father's Day 2024. Go to Love Life. You can find out more information. Or go to my social media, send me a message, and we'll connect. And I just want to challenge pastors. One of the goals of Life Ride 2023 was, let's raise $1 million. But the more important goal, Seth, was let's see a 1,000 House of Refuge churches raised up. You say, what is that? Well, that's what I described a moment ago. It's churches who will say to these mothers who find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, don't run to an abortion clinic. Run to our church, and we're going to help you. Love Life cannot be in every city in the U.S., but we can have House of Refuge churches in every city in the United States. You can find out more information about Life Ride 2024 and about House of Refuge churches by going to the Love Life website, lovelife.org, or connect with me and I can help you connect with them as well.
Wonderful. Yes. Your churches, guys, should become a house of refuge church. Yeah. It's a simple commitment and statement about what you'll do, what you won't, what you'll say, what you won't.
That's right. 6 minutes a year, it's going to cost you.
That's right. That's right. To be a haven for men and women facing unplanned pregnancies and advertising that your church is a house of refuge.
That's right.
A place where children are safe, where families are welcomed, even in the most difficult circumstances, to celebrate and choose life, and then to celebrate the motherhood and fatherhood of the families who are already mothers and already fathers as the church comes alongside them to be the hands and feet of Jesus. As you said, brother, this is Christianity 101.
That's it.
Pastor Jay, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being such a bold
voice. Thank you, Seth.
I hope pastors are inspired, are spurred on, are convicted, who will watch this or watch clips of this. Man, if we could bottle just a little bit of Pastor Jay and sprinkle that all over American pastors and churches, the world would look much different, brother. Thank you. We'll catch you out on the road.
Amen.
We'll catch you in California. And thank you for joining us today, bro.
Thank you again, Seth.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for joining the show today. Connect with Pastor Jay and Love Life and Life Right in the show notes. Learn about House of Refuge. See how you can get your church signed up as a House of Refuge. Hold your pastors accountable to speak for life and to stand for the lives of the unborn and to do something about the genocide and Holocaust of preborn children. If you want to know more about the show, connect with us. Leave us a rating and review. Go to iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, The Seth Gruber Show. Leave a rating and review. Hit 5 stars for us. It really helps us reach more people. More people see the show. With the new rebrand, we really need your help to drive the show up the ratings so lots of people see it. Subscribe at YouTube, and most importantly, subscribe at Rumble for if and when I'm ever digitally assassinated. You'll be able to stay connected to everything that we're doing. And if you want to join the White Rose Resistance, go to thewhiterose.life, thewhiterose.life, and become an ally at $35 a month for our digital community of training, mobilization, community, fellowship, and resistance. And at $70 a month, our book club, Books in the Barracks. We read a book together once a month, talk about it, hang out live with yours truly. Sometimes the author might show up. You never know. Could be fun. $70 a month. Become part of Christian Resistance by joining us, the fastest growing pro-life organization in America. Until next week, I'm Seth Gruber, and this is The Seth Gruber Show. We'll be right back.